What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey!
Hey, yeah. Y'all.
Hello.
This is technically episode 120.
120. Mm-hmm. That is a giant number.
But it's a special episode because we're releasing our live episode we did at the Chicago Podcast Festival.
Yeah. So we thought we would do a little disclaimer before you guys listen to the episode. So there were three mics on the stage, and we brought up, spoiler alert, there's going to be a third person on the stage eventually in the episode, but it sounds like her mic either just wasn't picking up her voice very well, or...
Well, let's say the mic was definitely picking up her voice because it was projecting, but for some reason that mic did not record into our audio record device, which I don't know what kind of technical difficulty happened there, but something fell through.
Something fell through, so when you guys listen to it, her voice is very soft, but I still think it's a really fun episode. A lot of the episode is me and Anna talking to each other up at the top. We each tell a little story, and we thought we would let everyone else that wasn't in Chicago at the show hear the episode because it's recorded, and so we might as well, right?
But some stuff has been edited out because it was just for the live people, so let that be some incentive to see us live.
Yeah, there's always going to be a secret bonus, an incentive, only privy to the ears of the audience in the flesh.
Yeah, which Shireen said.
But regardless, this is episode 120. We hope you guys enjoy it. And next time we have a live show, fucking come on out and hear the stuff we cut out.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Again, sorry for the audio. I'm sure when you guys listen to it, you'll hear the difference. We tried our best to make it sound a little bit better, but some stuff was just unavoidable.
Yeah, so enjoy.
Bye.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Wow. Wow, this is a long intro song. When we're recording, the song doesn't usually come on, so I forget how long it is. And also how my voice sounds.
Oh, wow. Look at you guys.
Thanks so much for coming, everybody. This is one of our very first live shows, so I would love to do more. I think Anna maybe would love to do more. Who knows? But
I'm moderate.
I can always ask her later. But this is like our test run. This is like our second one, I would say.
This is our second
one. Yeah.
We did one like mini live show in LA, and...
It was okay.
They didn't like it.
Yeah.
They did not. We tried to teach the audience how to Debka, and they were not having, like, no one wanted to do it.
No, Debka is like, or Debka, so let's just like, should we intro ourselves, I guess?
I'm Anna.
Yeah. I'm Shireen. I'm Syrian American. And
I'm Iranian American.
And those are different things.
That's all we planned.
And that's the show.
We actually planned a lot, but we're not good at, like,
communicating. Like, yeah, I was demanding, like, a PowerPoint and a, like, projector and, like, a popcorn machine, and they wouldn't accommodate it, so I had to scrap the whole bit.
But she didn't, the thing is, she didn't tell me any of that. She was all in her head, and she's like, so you got the plan? And I was like, yeah, I guess we'll do that. So we've been in Chicago for, like, 2 days now.
This is my first time here. It's a lovely city. Hey! I think it's great. We're from LA, and, like, we've been in LA for a while, and I was just looking forward to being cold, and it's been great. I like going outside and, like, bundling up and, like, walking, kind of, like, waddling around because I'm so bundled. It's adorable. I love watching everyone waddle. It's great.
What have we done? We went to the Bean, took a bunch of, like,
cool
selfies.
We've basically just been, like, been eating warped. And then walking more to eat more. And
we've eaten so much. Oh, have you guys been to Bad Hunter?
It's a great place.
We did try to go to Au Cheval, that burger place. Hour and a half wait.
No, I don't eat meat, so I'm just like, whatever. I wasn't that sad, honestly.
Yeah,
I was kind of happy. So, but I was like, oh, sucks.
But then we had, like, fried carrots at the other place. And then we were like,
I lost my mind.
We are fried carrot people now.
Yeah. Did not expect this turn in my life, but... the Uber driver here was a character. Singing along to every song.
He's got a very aggressive. In Miami. That's what I heard him singing that.
Yeah, very aggressive about the person in front of him not having their lights on, which I can understand because I'm also aggressive about
that. That's dangerous.
That, but not when people are in the car with me. You know what I mean? Like, I'll, like, flash people. Whatever. Just turn on your lights. It's dangerous out there.
I feel, we haven't done much. We're staying, I'm not going to tell you guys where we're staying, actually. We're staying at, like, a Kimpton. Do you guys know what these Kimptons are?
I have no idea. I've never heard of them before when we stayed at them.
Yeah. They're the kind of place that, like, once you get into your room, they, like, text you from a random number being like, is everything okay? And you have to be really, like, everything is great.
We each got a text from someone called Mamadou.
And I had to be like, hi, Mamadou. Everything is great. Thank you.
We had just walked in and I was like, let me look first. Let me make sure my robe is in my closet later.
Yeah. And I always have this thing that I do. I do it by accident, but I do it every time. Is I always seem to choose, like, one of those, like, accessibility rooms for people with disabilities. I don't know why. I think I always just click the wrong thing. This is, like, the third time this has happened. So... It's just always, it's, like, really weirdly laid out. Like, clearly it should be easy for someone who's in a wheelchair or has crutches or something to, like, get in and out. And everything is so spaced out. It feels like I feel crazy. I'm like, why do I keep doing this? But it's nice. So much room.
Yeah.
Should we?
Yeah. So we're each going to kind of, like, have some time to, like, tell, like, our own little stories, I guess. Because on our podcast, we have a Monday episode where we cover topical news about the Middle East, which is a main reason we started the podcast, to, like, draw attention to news that people overlook in Western media. And then on Wednesdays, we usually interview a guest, usually a person of color. And so we thought maybe for this live show, we would kind of get a little bit more. And we also have personal episodes. So we talk about our, like, mental decay and how we're sad all the time. Well, how I'm sad all the time. So we thought we would just have our own little segments where we decide whatever we want to talk about. And so I think you have a story.
You guys know, so we're both wearing black turtlenecks.
Yeah, this is our look.
This is our thing.
This is our look.
This is what we do now.
Yeah, we're smart. Well, please believe us when we say that we are smart. We are wearing black turtlenecks.
If any of you are ethnically ambiguous originalists.
Stans? Can I use that word? I hate myself.
If you were there from the start, our original logo, we both were wearing black turtlenecks. Mm-hmm. And when we changed networks, they kind of were like, hey, guys, this is a little too smart for you.
Yeah, they're like, well, let's rebrand you guys to be more fun. And they put pink on our logo, and I was full rage
mode. What about if you guys were dumb?
They added, like, a heart and the flower, and I was like, this is not what I signed up for, but I guess this is where I am.
I started telling my story.
No
memory
of
anything.
You were, like, going to start.
I took so much CBD before this. Like, I was like, be cool, Anna, be cool. And then I was like, I think I took too much. I'm the only person who overdoses on CBD? but my joints, they're so loose. There's no pain.
No, you can do anything.
There's like a 90% chance I wake up tomorrow from doing this, having thrown out my neck. So in 2013, I was 23. I was working in reality TV in LA in development. I was, like, moderately insane. Like, I just wasn't doing well in life because I was working in reality TV. And I had this executive producer who, he was such a monster. He would basically tell us stories about cheating on his girlfriend all weekend and doing a bunch of cocaine and then being like, am I a bad person? And then, like, we're all just like, no, totally not. You're a great guy. Because we were all terrified of losing our jobs. So around that time, I was like, God, fuck this guy. He is weird. And I think I also made like, yeah, adultery doesn't make you bad. And then he like looked at me and I was like, fuck, I gotta quit. So I quit that job very abruptly because I was like, I'm starting to lose my mind. And also, like, we would do that thing, classic reality TV development thing, where you would be like, you bring someone in that you're trying to suck in to do a show with you. And I say that suck in because you're sucking souls out of people's bodies. Right. But you would be like, guys, look, we're not like one of those production companies that's all about drama. We care about the core, the truth. And then they would leave and they would be like, yeah, not enough drama. I don't know. We couldn't do anything with them. So that's where I was at. And so I quit and my dad happened to be going to Iran. So I was like, hey, let me come with you. I just quit my job and down a clown, you know, in Iran. And that doesn't really make any sense. So he's like, yeah, sure, pay for your own ticket. I'm in first class. You figure your thing out. And I was like, cool, dad. And if any of you have heard my dad on the podcast, it's exactly what he's like. So
I think my alarm is going off.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Shereen. Oh, you know what that is? I'm so sorry. We have to check into our flights. So
actually, yeah, can you guys just wait a minute?
That's the thing, is like, you don't want to be in group four, you know, like, you kind of got to do it the second that 24 hour hits for fear that you have to wait and then like fight a 10-year-old for position to put your bag in the overhead.
God, I was next to a child on the flight here.
Dude,
I was
there was a
to
kid kicking my ass. There was Shereen was in the row behind me and I was in I was like in the row before her, but she was in a row filled with children. One of them apparently was just like elbowing her to death, and the other
no
one
concept
was
of personal space.
The other one was just kicking my chair. Like every time I would finally like start to fall asleep, he would just kick me awake, and I'd just be like, "Oh, you're lucky. I cannot turn around and punch you in the face."
I can't. I love that we're checking into our flight right now.
Because like I would, I am like sometimes when I'm on a plane, I become the person who would punch a kid because it's like, not today, honey. I'm on a plane. And I have no comfort. I'm sitting up straight.
You know, that was pretty easy.
I'm not checking.
The internet's great.
I'm not checking a bag, okay?
Thanks, guys. If I'm next to a kid, okay, but he was old enough to know better.
Hell yeah. Group three, baby, group three!
Oh, I didn't even see what group I am.
That's how it's done. What can I say? I was actually quite worried. I like realized that the check-in was at the same time of the show, and I was like, should we cancel? Should we cancel the show? We can't. I will not be group four. Okay. Gate not yet assigned. Get it together, Chicago.
Wait, what seat are you?
I'm 32F. Window, baby.
Window seat's the only seat, honestly.
Window
seat's the only seat.
People were like, aisle, I have to pee.
I'm 31F.
Like,
oh, okay. Also group
hell.
Three. Good job.
Group three, yeah.
I'm so glad we checked in on
I
the
know.
Show.
So glad. This is all staying in. All right, sorry. Back to my story. So, right, so I'm like, Dad, take me to Iran with you. I'm down the clown, whatever I said earlier. And then he's like, yeah, sure. He legitimately flew first class and I flew economy. I just can't. But we get there. I spend about 3 weeks there. And in this 3 weeks, it's summer in Iran. It was like May-ish. And I don't know if you know much about Iran, but it's got climates. So when it's like hot, it's hot. It's kind of like, you guys have climates, right? Sorry, I'm like from LA. I don't like know what climates are. But, you know, as a woman, you kind of have to be covered up. You have to be wearing your hijab. You have to have your kind of like your longer coat on. It's a whole thing. It's not as strict as it used to be, but, you know, as the American cousin, everyone's so scared you're, like, 3 seconds from being arrested, so they're, like, really like, hey, just, like, you know, be careful. So at the time I had this, my cousin's son, he was about 4 years old at the time. holy shit on Instagram. He is fucking wild. Anyway, but it's really wild. Like Middle Easterners in foreign countries on Instagram, it's a whole world out there. Like they're so like everything is aggressively face-tuned, and they're always like, oh my God, how funny, how casual of me to just kind of like be here.
Yeah, this is a normal pose.
Yeah, like they're like, oh, is that a cake?
Also, my face is completely blurred out. So I only have two dots for eyes.
Yeah, and there's like no feet. You can't see their nose because it's so deeply face-tuned. And it's like it hasn't hit them yet. Like, it's cool to be natural. It's not there. You can't. But because I'm the youngest cousin on my dad's side, and everyone else is like a 58-year-old man. That's all my cousins. So it's like either I hang out and smoke cigarettes, which is like, cool, I don't want to do that, or I hang out with literal babies. So I went the baby route. So I was like, I'm going to hang out with these little kids. I'm going to be the coolest cousin, aunt, whatever that they'd ever done seen. Maybe one day they'll come to college in America and hang out with
me. Be your friend.
In like 40 years, whatever. So I spent a lot of time at my uncle's house. He's like a contractor, so he has this huge house. In Iran, houses are built to have mehmoonies, aka like house parties at. So they don't really care about the bedroom because they're like, no one's gonna see the bedroom. But their living rooms are built where you could have like 400 people dancing at once in. So that's like what the house looks like. So you're like, wow, why is this living room like the size of, you know, like a hotel convention center? And then why is the room only fit like a tiny little twin bed? Naturally, to me, as a 23-year-old, and you know, I'm hanging out with a 4-year-old, he's like, we can play soccer inside. And I'm like, yeah, sure, bro. You seem to know the rules. Like, let's do it. This is, again, Iran, and my uncle has done well for himself, so all his furniture is made out of solid gold. It's like really insane. When you're like going there, you're like, is that? And they're like, don't touch that. And you're like, okay, you can just have that. So we decided to play soccer inside. I am a child on the inside. So when I'm playing sports, I get very excitable and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, I'm just like running and throwing my body everywhere. And to a point where someone's like, women don't play soccer like that here. And I was like, okay. I was like, lame for you. So during this game, very, very hard game with a 4-year-old. It was down, dude. It was down like to the, like it was like, we were tied, basically.
He's four.
But they start him young there.
Touche.
And I go to try and basically block him from shooting. This is the craziest. It's just like I'm playing with a 4-year-old. And I kick a piece of gold furniture. And in that moment, it was like, it was like your hello darkness my old friend. Like I was like, oh no. And I look down and my toe is like it's doing something else, you know, it's like bye. So I panic and I'm like, I can't, it hurts so much that I can't like put any weight on it. And I'm like freaking out. And it's honestly, it's only me and the 4-year-old at this point. I don't know where anyone else is. And he's being like, oh, get up. Because here's the other thing. The 4-year-old was raised but he spends most of his time with my old uncle. So he has all the mannerisms and he acts like an old man. So he's like, hey, get up. Ah, yeah, come on. And so I'm like, oh my God, get your face away from me. You know, like stop yelling. But he's like, ah, bitch, children. Can you believe this? All they do is cry. Like he's like, yell. And he's literally, and he spends a lot of time in Turkey. So he's like a little old Turkish man yelling at me. So I'm like, God damn. And, of course, you know, my dad and my uncle, everyone comes in, I'm being like, guys, I can't walk, help. And my dad's like, honestly, we don't have time for this. We have to go see your mean aunt. That's right. I have a mean aunt. They call her the sheriff. Cause guys, she's fucking mean. And I'm being like, I can't walk. My dad's like, your mean aunt's not going to be happy. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Is she ever? And, so I'm like crying. Literally at this point, I spoke about this on the show before, but there's always a point when you've spent a long time in the Middle East where you hit your breaking point and you have your cry. And this cry can go from being like, to like, like that's like where I was angling. Like I was hot. My toe broke off a gold piece of furniture, which you never really want to happen. And no person there, even the four-year-old, had any patience with me. Like, they're like, oh, cry, baby. And I'm like, I can't walk. And my dad is literally being, my dad is so mean in situations like this when he doesn't want to deal with it. He was just like, we have to go. Don't cry. Crying is ugly. We got to go. And, you know, of course, I'm a woman. So when you tell me crying is ugly, I cry more. It hurts my feelings. Like, come on, why would you say that? Like, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. And you're going to tell me crying is ugly? Naturally, that would make me cry more because you just called me ugly and I'm sensitive. So, you know, this is where it gets crazy. My cousin comes, who's another like 50-year-old man, and goes, oh, fuck. Okay, I'll take you to the doctor. My dad's like, I'm going to your mean aunt's place. Peace. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Fuck you. And naturally, like, it. I was telling Shireen this earlier, but I was like, there's like, because like, as children of immigrants, you're not like taught how to deal with your emotions like at all. Like no one addresses you when you're like, I don't feel good. They're like, mm-hmm.
No one asks you how you feel.
Yeah, no. Nobody asks you.
No.
So it's like, this is how we're taught to deal with our emotions. Like everything comes out in the same way of like, if I had just woken up from a coma and I'd been in the coma for 15 years. So I don't know, I'm like either like, I don't know how to express myself. Or I'm like, because you don't know what the fuck's going on and you just want to be heard and you want your emotions to be felt and heard and respected and all that. So that's like how we are taught to deal with things. So I was in the deep, deep ladder. Like I was like, I was in it. Like I was being like, oh, die here, you know? And so my uncle, or my cousin's like, let's go, I'll take you to a doctor. So they carry me to the car. It's him, my other cousin, who's the mother of the four-year-old who's a mean old little man, and then I think, no, yeah, so me, the four-year-old, his mother, and my other cousin, who are those two are siblings, they said they're taking me to a doctor, okay, guys? Never fall for that fucking trick, okay? They pull out to this, first of all, we drive like 30 minutes, I'm like, yeah, okay, we're out of the city, you got like, you know, got like doctors out in the deep and they're, no one's responding to me. You know, the four-year-old's still making fun of me, being like, cry, baby. And we go to this, I only know the word for it in Farsi, but whatever. It's like a deep village and it's like this little cafe and they're like, come on. I'm like, I'm not going into a fucking cafe. Like, I want to go see a doctor. Like, okay, quit crying. It's ugly. They're still saying, that's what's crazy to me. They will continue to say crying is ugly. That's their way of being like, don't cry. Everything's okay. By telling you, you look ugly. So they're like, come into this cafe. Come in, come in, come in. I'm like, no, no. And they're like, well, you have to come in. And they carry me into the cafe. Like, I'm literally being like two people around me carrying me. I can't walk. And wow, that was like incredible. I stood up. What am I doing?
And now this is the charades part.
Yeah,
of the show.
And this is where I act out what happened. No, and I go in. There's no one in the cafe. They're like, they seat me down. This little old man comes out, like literally like tiny little old man. He comes out and he's like, what's the problem? And that's when it hit me. I was like, oh yeah, we're in Iran. Like this is what they're about to like, they're going to do some old medicine shit on me. And this guy goes, what's the deal? I'm being like, who is he? Who is he? I need to see papers. Who is he? And they're like, shut up, don't say anything. And he's like, let me see your foot. And I'm like, we're in a cafe. You about to get a D rating. You know, like you can't be doing, like you can't do stuff like that in a cafe. Like what if someone comes in and you're working on my foot? They're going to be like, two burgers, please. Like what? It's weird. But no one comes in, luckily. So he takes my foot. He puts it up. He literally just massages points on my foot, like just like, like does little taps here and there, things. And then he looks up at me and he's like, so how are you doing? And I'm like, what? And then in that moment, yanks my toe back into place, which to me, I am like, what? And then he's like, And then he's like, yeah, you should be good. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I'm like, oh my God! Oh my! I'm like literally, I walk back to the car like da da dee da 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 da. Like I have never walked better. Like I don't know what he did. And then they like give him a lot of cash. I was like, damn, he's expensive. and then they take me to ice cream. They took me. They were like,
is baby okay? You want some ice cream? And I fucking did, because I was like, yeah, it's been a long day. I would love some fucking ice cream. And my foot was fine.
That's amazing.
And they just took me home, and everything was great. And my dad was like, see, all you do is complain, and it's just that easy to take care of. And I was like, okay, first of all, like, how would I have even remotely been able to predict any of that? And if I were to go back, I would still have given him a D rating. Because I'm like, that's not appropriate. You should at least take me in the back. Like,
right. Put on a glove or something.
Yeah, he didn't put on a glove. He's like, okay. He probably went and cooked food with those hands that just fixed my foot.
Salty.
So there's a photo of him on my Instagram. I don't know. I will one day share it. It's so deep. It's just. And then I was like, can I take a photo of you in front of your cafe? And he's like, sure, whatever. As if nothing had just happened. As if he hasn't just like... You know, like as if I would have never walked again and he just fixed me for life. And he was just like, just another day. And then they told me he's like some old timey chiropractic who's like kind of a legend in the city. And I was like, okay, he should work in an office. But so, yeah, that's my story. Yeah. It's fun.
That's a good story.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Shereen, thoughts?
I wish I had a story. I wish I had, when someone's like, go on the show and like tell a story, I don't have like a story that I think of. So I wish I kind of did have the one story. Instead of that, I just have like a slew of mental diseases in my brain. But I do think what you said about emotion is kind of like a good segue, because I want to talk about what the podcast has taught me a little bit. And the podcast has taught me most of all that I have a lot of issues. When I first started the podcast, I truly...
Is that Michelle?
Made a
Woo,
mistake.
Woo, Michelle, what's up, girl?
Woo, Michelle! Yeah! She's one of our A1
That's
fans.
That's one of our listeners. She FaceTimed in. See? Commitment.
She says hello. She really appreciates that you guys said hi to her.
Oh, Hell yeah. Anyway, you interrupted me.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I want to die. So when I first started the podcast, I know nothing about podcasting, truly, still to this day, but I kind of treated it as like a weekly therapy session, which is not what you're supposed to do, and also I still need therapy. But the more we started doing it, the more we started talking about our upbringing and dealing with our parents and being people of color, and I realized just how many issues I truly have. One of them being, again, like repressing your emotions until they bubble up and they just spew over everything. It really does feel like you're in a coma for 15 years and you wake up and you're like, feelings. I have those. One of the main things I think that influenced me growing up is this thing called middle child syndrome. And for you, those of you that don't know, I think middle child syndrome affects us in particularly when we're children of immigrants. And middle child syndrome is basically this theory that if you're the middle child, usually of three, you're kind of the one that is the most fucked up. And so my older sister, she's perfect. She's only a year and a half older than me. She's 18 months older than me. And she's always wanted to be a doctor, is a doctor currently, and is also engaged to another doctor. So she can do no wrong. Yeah, mashallah, mashallah. She can do no wrong ever. And then I come along, bad at science. I couldn't hack it in school. But my parents still had hope for me because I love to argue and get into fights. They're like, law school, because that's the only other option. That didn't work out either. So I was just a huge rebellious, like troublemaking kid. And then my little sister comes along, and according to this same middle child syndrome theory, she's like the last child is usually the baby. She's very like kind of spoiled and raised a little bit differently. So she's just coddled her whole life, very supported and now thriving.
She is very talented.
She's very talented and thriving. But then there's me, who is nearly 30 and never held a full-time job. Not that I've wanted one. I've just avoided that my whole life. I've been able to be freelance, thankfully, but who knows how long that'll last. And I make films and write poetry and host a podcast, and that's my job. In my parents' eyes, I'm a failure. I'm a deadbeat. But along
with that silence, everyone's like,
They're like, yeah, that does sound about right. And I think what makes this feeling of failure a little bit worse is imposter syndrome, which I think I also suffer from immensely. I'm expecting someone to come on stage right now and be like, what are you doing here?
Wait.
This is a mistake.
Do you remember the thing I showed you today that made you even more upset?
Yeah, there's a Redactor's headline that Anna showed me today that was like, are you even good enough to have imposter syndrome?
And I was like,
it cut me so deep. I will never recover.
Some of those Redactors, man, you're like,
God, what the shit? How am I supposed to live after seeing that? Because no, I'm not. But yeah, it's this constant feeling of being a fraud, and like Anna said, like something about being the American cousin. It's also, even though Arabic was my first language and I'm Syrian, I'm like, am I Syrian enough? Am I political enough? Am I intelligent enough to even host a podcast about the Middle East? So yeah, I think as I was sitting here like thinking about like what I should talk about on the show, I was like, maybe I should just make a list of all the problems I have. Not like, we're not even touching on the mental illness. I mean, like depression, and I've been diagnosed with so many things and taken so many pills. I was like debating taking acid on the way here, but it's fine. I didn't. But
why
did
you have done that? I'm like trying to do the show. I'm like, why is Shireen acting so weird?
Just like leave this earth. But I did. I wanted to like make a list of all the things I think I suffer from that I have talked about, and maybe not on the podcast. So I made a list. Hold on. Oh, there it is.
That's a CVS receipt.
Correct. this is blank. also, backstory. I should just explain. We were at the hotel, and I used two of their notepads.
She stole my notepad.
And I was literally at the front desk. I was like, "Do you have any Scotch tape?" And me and the guy at the front desk made this. He had no idea why. Very nice man. And he was just like, why am I helping you with this? And I was like, it's for a bit. Don't worry about it. And this is the bit. My issues are endless.
Love live shows.
Yeah. When else can I have a visual aid? Oh, no, the name of the hotel is on here. But I think something the podcast has offered is this ability to kind of connect with people on a level that I wasn't expecting to. Because I think a lot of the issues that we suffer from, that I suffer from, can make you feel a little bit alone and a little bit like floating through this like weird universe like by yourself. But I think the more we talk about these things, the more they kind of unify us. And I think that's the most amazing thing about having this podcast is like, the things that I thought made me the most like an alien are the same things that someone can message me on Instagram being like, thank you for talking about this. Mm-hmm. I feel less alone.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been cool. I mean, I think I've like have this, I mean, I call it a shtick, but I guess it's like my personality, which is just like self-deprecation.
That's true. You did call it a shtick earlier. I was like, what are you, that's just who you are.
Yeah, I know.
What are you talking about?
My personality is this, I'm just like half self-deprecation and half like I care too much. But I think on the podcast in particular, I come off as like the compassionate one, and I am compassionate, but I think that's why.
Damn, what does that mean? I'm like, I'm crazy.
No, but like, I feel like I just like, I'm like.
No,
like,
it's true. She is actually the compassionate one.
I mean, I don't know. God, I can't believe I made this fucking scroll.
Yeah, you have to put that all back together and put it back in my room, by the way. I have notes to take.
This is crazy. I need a hobby. I need to actually make a film. But I guess like I wanted to use the time I have on the show to kind of be like, it's okay to feel like a fraud. You probably are one, but also just keep doing it. Unless someone comes up on stage and stops you, you're fine. But I think to save me from continuing to ramble,
what else?
What else should we do?
We have nothing else planned. Okay. What else? What else?
Okay, hold on.
Hold on. Okay, I'm just gonna leave this here as well.
We're gonna tap cut. No, I'm just joking.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay. You're going to get in the middle of the sandwich. You're going to wear all my issues like a scarf.
All right, welcome to a live Ethnically Ambiguous interview bonus special! For today, we are joined by a very special guest. It's as if we're in studio, isn't it?
Yeah. Guys. Today on this episode of Ethnically Ambiguous, it's a guest episode. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. And that's true. We have been making those noises with our mouths the whole time.
Yeah. We sing the intro song every time live. But we thought it would be fun to use a good portion of the stage time we have to like bring up someone that is like us.
Yeah. And I met Priyanka, I think we first met in Chicago last year. You gotta grab the mic. Look at this. Yeah,
She don't even know.
Yeah, I actually am a huge fan of the Daily Zeitgeist podcast.
Yeah, we met it when we did it live here.
Yeah, and you were on my radar.
Thank you.
I hate speaking into a mic. Can you guys hear me? If I just...
No, sorry, Priyanka, you have to speak into a mic. This is recorded. What do you think this is? Here, let me...
Sorry.
We need a new guest. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm good. Yeah, so huge fan of the Daily Zeitgeist, and then...
Which is not this show.
Not this show.
Okay.
Yeah, we're same thing.
It's how I've made all my millions, though.
Yeah. And,
just kidding, they don't pay me.
On my radar, and then we met at the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then we met again in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I was in San Francisco the same weekend you guys ended up having the Sketchfest show.
Mm.
And I was doing my best to seem like a normal person, like not like a person, or
yeah,
like a crazy fan person. But
which is, you did really well, because there are some Zeit Gang. No, I'm just joking. But some really fan out, and I'm like, these losers? Ugh, spend a fucking week with them. But just kidding. Jack and Miles are great. I swear to God, I hope they don't listen
to this.
Guys. I really need my
job. They're good guys. They're still They're
really
men, great. Though.
They're really wonderful guys.
But yeah, so should we...
Let's
talk about you.
Yeah, we're going to talk about you.
Let's talk... Where are you from?
Okay, I would just like to preface that none of this was planned. My heart is beating out of my chest.
I know. I saw her and I zoomed in. I was like, I'm gonna fucking make Priyanka come up here.
Yeah, we were talking about having someone on stage, but Anna did decide who it was.
Yeah.
So that was,
well, I was gonna literally just go around and start looking in people's face and be like, sorry, not ethnically ambiguous enough. But
like,
it felt so cruel.
Like,
felt
trying
so cruel
to say,
be like
trying,
pushing
yeah.
faces out of the way.
Yeah.
But I saw Priyanka and I was like, oh, that's Priyanka. She's
that's the one.
Come up.
That's
yeah.
the one.
I'm here. I actually was born in Assam, India. It's a northeast part of India. I was born there. My whole family is from there. I moved to the States when I was five, in 2000. My dad came a year before my mom and I did to do his master's in Utah. And then I lived in Utah with my parents, and then we moved to Fresno, California. We were there for less than a year.
Mm.
And then we moved to the suburbs of Chicago in 2002, and then I made my way into the city. I live in the city right now.
Woo!
For a few years. I love it. Chicago is definitely like my first love.
Chicago.
Yeah.
That's not a song.
Is your dad an engineer?
Is he?
Civil engineer.
Yeah. Me too! Yeah.
Same, Woo! Babe. Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
All three of us have civil engineer dads.
As soon as he came to America to get his master's, I was like, he's an engineer.
If you're a woman of color and your dad is a civil engineer or wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt, he's not your dad.
It is somewhat disturbing how they wear, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing. It's just, yeah, they have the same stylist.
What was it like growing up? Okay, so you went to, where'd you go first?
Logan, Utah.
Logan, that's where my parents got married.
What?
My parents went.
Are you guys related?
When? I don't know, like 70s. My parents both went to Utah separately because I think Utah accepted a lot of people. Like, they were, like, being like, come on down. The Mormons.
Yeah. The Mormons had an agenda.
The Mormons are like, come on down.
The best scholarship from that school.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, I think same. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was University of Utah. Is that the one? I don't know.
Utah State.
There you go. Yeah, something like that. And then both my parents came, and that's where they met in Utah and got married in Logan.
Wow.
Before they moved to California.
Wow, nice.
Pretty cool, right, guys? Everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Okay, so in Utah.
But then you go, yeah. How long did you live in Utah?
Like close to 2 years. Year and a half, 2 years.
Well,
okay.
I feel like this is the most annoying question. One of the most annoying questions I get asked is just like, where are you from? Because I feel like I don't know how to answer that question. But if you've moved around more than I feel like I have, how do you answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I do get really bitter about that question.
Yeah.
It's almost to a point now. It's kind of like we were saying, like, doing a bit, but it's also your personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's insufferable.
Yeah, like, people be like, where are you from? And I'm just like, here.
Yeah.
I'm literally from here. And they'll be like, yeah, haha, like, where are your parents from? And I'll just be like, oh, they're here. Like, at this point, I just straight up lie. Because yeah. I literally don't have the mental energy to talk to a stranger.
Again and again and again. Yeah. Yeah, I think that question is so hard because, especially as people that, like, are from two places at once, whether it's like the Middle East or India or in the US, I feel like we're just like these floating beings. And I never, even though I grew up mostly in San Diego, I don't think that's my home. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what's home? The word home is so strange to me. And I don't like that question. I hate that question. Yeah, don't ask anyone that question.
I feel like that type of question.
You just respond to me with retweet. But I'm old. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. That was very hip. Very hip.
I think that questions like that are totally natural and they're mm-hmm. normal, and we want to get to know people in that kind of way. But I feel like it's more productive when it comes up in conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm having a conversation with you and there's something I'm like, oh yeah, I actually lived in California for a mm-hmm. little bit. Like, I'd yeah. rather explain who I am that way than have it be like an interview process, especially in social situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are you from? What do you do? Are you single?
Right.
Okay, you're not single? Ooh, all right.
Okay, hard pass.
What do you do?
Moving along. Also, my anxiety is physically represented by how I'm slowly yeah. getting into the fetal position. Slowly, but surely. I mean, it started that way, but then I'm just gonna hide.
Yeah. Before we know it, she's gonna be like behind the curtain. I'm like, Shireen, no. Shireen. Yeah. So, where was the majority of your time spent? In the suburbs?
In Chicago.
And hell yeah.
Yeah.
Which one?
You don't have to get specific.
You don't
it's
have to.
Kind of
you don't
private.
Have to tell these crazy people where you're from.
It's like part of it, right? So Naperville. Yeah, and see, the reason that I'm so weird about even revealing that is Naperville is a really large, northwestern, heteronormative, white, middle-class, upper-middle-class suburb. And so a lot of people know Naperville because mm-hmm. there's so many people that...
Are neighbors there?
Our
neighbors. Sorry.
Yeah, they're all friends. They all tie into the city. Like, a lot
right.
of their parents have friends.
Oh, they're like connected.
Yeah, they work in HR and then they get them a job and they like pay like a few months rent, and like it's just like I wish I was lying. I wish I like was just kidding. But the more I get to know people that live in the city and have lives in the city, the more that actually is the story.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would love to be told otherwise.
Right.
Like, I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean like
just that's the
facts.
The reality. Yeah.
It's just the facts.
Yeah.
And so like I didn't have that. I didn't get like my parents and I didn't get our green card until like a few years ago.
Oh wow.
System.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother podcast.
which we will start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's weird because it's like what you were saying about home, right?
Yeah.
Like, even the fact, like, oh, yeah, like, Naperville is home, but it's like, if I say Naperville, I know that that means certain things to certain people.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not fair to me mm-hmm. or my parents. Because it was very much like a paycheck to paycheck situation.
Right.
And
yeah.
I I'm not exaggerating. Like, we didn't go on vacations. It wasn't like that, you know? And so, yeah, it's just, like, weird because there's like different identities in play
mm-hmm.
and you want to be your own person, but at the same time, it's like,
yeah,
you're obviously a part of that as well. And I don't think I'm like unique to that experience. You know, like, I don't think that there's like
juggling different identities is like part of the package when it comes to being a person of color and like a child of immigrants and you're an immigrant yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are a slew of identities that you have to kind of, like, reckon with on a daily basis, especially in a kind of, like, a white, mostly white place.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that this podcast, like, there are literally episodes that I just can't listen to them fully. Like, I have to literally take breaks because it almost does feel therapeutic. Like, it's too much. Like,
imagine how I feel!
That's how we should record,
I've
honestly.
I've cried multiple times!
Yeah.
I'm a baby.
Unpack. Like, literally the thing with emotion, like, I can tell this story now because I've made peace with it, and I can say it in a way where it's like I can hold the dualities, like I love my parents love, you know, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I have this memory of being in middle school and like listening to Simple Plan and
I'm sorry, I can't be perfect.
That 100%.
I nailed it. I nailed picking her, didn't I?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
We're all the same.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, my mom just, like, coming into the room to tell me dinner was ready, seeing me crying, just, like, laying on the floor. There's, like, this, you guys remember Limited 2? There's, like, this, like,
oh, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
How could you forget?
So, like, literally, like, a Limited 2 jukebox situation. It's, like, sparkly, fuzzy.
Yeah.
And just, like,
your mom lets you get that?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
In their own ways.
Wow.
Yeah, but I just remember, like, opening the door, seeing me crying, like, dinner's ready, and then just leaving. And I'm
wow.
Like,
hmm. Yeah.
On my way.
It's, yeah.
Like, what else? Like, what?
You're not, yeah, that's emotional intelligence, or like dealing with emotions is not a priority. It's yeah. It's like it's, you're being sensitive if you show any kind of emotion. That word was thrown around a lot for both Anna and I.
I'm like the most sensitive, but yeah, it's as if they want to just train you to just be like good, norm. Like the idea is you have a facade, keep it to get, like, keep that facade going.
Yeah.
Because, like, how is anyone going to treat you well if you're just, like, a bumbling, crying, sensitive mess? They really, really lean into the, like, the female, like, she's shrieking, like, stereotype of being like, I'm not crazy. I just spoke my mind. And they're like, whoa, she's got opinions. And you're like, okay, like, all I said was, I don't think that color looks good. And they're like, okay, Anna. And you're like, okay, like they want you to like stay within lines.
Yeah.
Don't cross the line because then someone might not take you seriously and give you a job and a 401k and health insurance. And then it's like, how are you going to support your family? And then you're like,
it's like kind of stems from the idea of a model minority.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of permeates any kind of marginalized group. I'm trying to not use the word minority anymore because I think it like further makes that those groups smaller. So I think marginalized is kind of what I lean toward. Just peek into my mind, but marginalized groups I think do have that kind of like they trying to represent themselves in the best light possible because they're trying to survive in a world that is like pitted against them at all times. So I think it's part of that. I think it's like part of being like, who's gonna take you seriously if you're a soppy mess? You know?
Yeah, which is weird because they don't really say that to men.
No, well, because men
like,
don't cry.
Wow, he's so angry. That's hot.
And men, like, men aren't capable of crying. No, I'm sure.
Yeah, no. It's like that very interesting thing of like, my brother's toxic masculinity was encouraged. Mm. Like to me, I'd be like, I don't know about you, but he's kind of he's a little toxic in how he's acting. My dad'd be like, whoa, 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 why would you say that? He's a man. That's how men act. And I'd be like, well, I don't know about you, but to me, he's annoying. You know, like, I'd just be like, I don't know. Like, it feels like that's too aggressive. Like, he shouldn't do that. And they'd be like, what do you mean that's too aggressive? Like, he's just being honest. And you're like, okay, but when I'm honest, I'm told I'm sensitive.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's an added layer of being a woman of color. It's like a woman, but also a marginalized woman.
Yeah, that's like my favorite thing in Iran, to do something like just to really annoy my family is like I'll put my arm in public like around my like male cousin and then they all like, whoa, 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 don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I'm like, oh, whoops. But I just do it on purpose because it's like, what it like.
I remember my sisters and I would always do the stupidest things in Syria to push buttons. Like, okay, this is a fun Arabic lesson for y'all. So the word air, like air in Arabic means dick. So my sisters and I would come off a plane being like, we just came off an airplane. And all my cousins would be like, I have a shoe. I'm like, oh my God, you're going to go to hell. And we're just like, air, air, air. The word kiss in Arabic means pussy. So literally one of the biggest insults in Arabic is kind of similar to motherfucker because your mother is involved, which is something I don't understand about curse words. But it's your mother's vagina in Arabic. It's kis immak or kis immik, depending on who the gender is or the person you're insulting. So because the word kiss is so hilariously funny to both my sister, still to my sisters and I, we'll just like go around saying like, give me a kiss or whatever. We're just like this dude, like we just played up our ignorance so hard.
Because it's fun.
Of a laugh.
It's fun to watch them sweat.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Oh my God. So yeah, that's your Arabic lesson. For the what, if you ever meet an Arab. Or actually, maybe not to the Arab.
If you ever meet an Arab, what to say directly to their face?
Yeah. But why are mothers always involved in like the worst curse words? I want to dissect that. Yeah, like motherfucker or like your mother's vagina or whatever.
I don't know. In Farsi, there's pedasag, which is like your father's a dog. Which is like, oh my God. You got me.
There's one like that, but with your mom.
Really?
In Arabic.
Bitch. Oh, that's English.
I don't know. But female dog is consistently a curse word in every language, I feel like.
Which is so weird. Like, what's that about?
I don't know. What did they do?
I guess just women. Fuck them, right?
Right. But do you also have the word, like ass in Arabic, like a donkey, like a curse word in Farsi?
I think so, but khar, thank you. Yeah. That's my Persian right there.
Yeah.
Khar, also, but you know what's actually a good one, which my dad loves to call us, is gov.
Gov.
Which is like, it's like goat, is goat. But the thing is, these things don't make any, I'm like, oh, really, I'm a goat? Like, would I eat trash? Like, what is the insult?
I think the funniest one in Arabic is dib, which just means bear. But it implies that you're like a dumb bitch. Like a dipshit.
It's so nonsensical.
Dipshit just means that you're just like a big bumbling dipshit. Also, fun fact, the guy right here sitting in the front row, not only was he a guest on a previous episode of our podcast, it was called We Are Dreamers. It's about DACA and it's a great episode. But we went to, was it also middle school and high school? High school together. So, throwback.
TBT, hashtag.
And now he's studying medicine in motherfucking Chicago, which is crazy.
Guys, he became the doctor his parents wanted him to be.
No, I think it's...
Good for you, Allie. We're just podcasters.
I think it's impressive only because I don't talk to anyone from high school, really. And so
Why would you?
The fact that he's like even here is just like, I've at least made one good impression. I'm sad.
I just remembered something. I'm going to tangent real quick. This like really, really, one of my best friends growing up was this girl who in college turned really aggro and very like white feminist vibes. She just got very intense about me. I don't know. Everything I would say, she's like, well, the thing you need to understand, Anna, is that being white is da, da, da. And we used to follow each other on Instagram, and then she unfollowed me out of nowhere, which I was like, oh no, I probably posted something too controversial for her. And she recently tried to follow me back and sent me a message, and I just responded like, why'd you unfollow me? Because I was like, you know what? Let's start some shit. I was bored. Whatever. Also, it's like, she was my best friend for years. Like, I can start some shit if I really wanted to.
Right.
And she wrote this whole thing like, I was just going through a thing in my life where I was unfollowing all people. I didn't communicate directly in real life. So I would love to follow you again. And I just wrote, no. I don't know why, but it was so like... Fuck you. Like, you turned into such a bitch, unfollowed me, which, by the way, if you unfollow someone on Instagram, that there is a social code that you are telling them to go fuck themselves. I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. You actively unfollow
it
someone.
It is an insult. Like, you don't...
You're being like,
You're not interested in seeing my life anymore.
Yeah.
Like...
So it's like, you told me to go fuck myself, and now I'm not gonna let you back into my haven of cat pics, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. I just want to share. It felt really good. No, you don't know her. Oh. I wouldn't introduce you to her because she ain't worth your time, honey.
Word.
I don't bring anyone into. Well, it's a whole thing. But
do I follow you?
I'm just gonna go. I blocked you.
you follow me.
All we do is go back and forth and like each other's photos. We have nothing going
but
on.
But also something that's this is like maybe
just make
too
Priyanka
personal.
Sit up here for
I know,
all this.
She's like listening to us talk to each other.
Great. This is literally like if I was the other night. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's like that meme everyone sends around. It's like the guy sitting next to all
the
billboard.
Podcasting like, friends.
These are my friends.
If you block someone on Instagram, all of their likes are like deleted from your page. So it's like,
really?
If you block someone like you used to have sex with or something and you're like sad about not having sex with them anymore, when you block them, all their likes go away. So all that validation is gone that they ever were interested in you in the first place.
This sounds personal.
Yeah.
That's a
low
thing?
Key regret that. Yeah, I regret that.
So you can't be like, oh, I guess he never liked
me. Yeah, exactly. Like I go back to a pic being like, he liked this one. You're like, oh, he didn't. He never did.
Yeah.
Do you know what's a sad tangent. This is actually annoying. So I'm Syrian, as I already mentioned, but a lot of my family after the Syrian war, they're like scattered everywhere. And I somehow now have family in West Virginia, which is not something I'd ever thought I'd ever have in West Virginia. But I've been there multiple times now. And my family over there, they're my mom's family. And so my grandparents are there now. They have a little house. It's adorable. I think part of being, at least for us, I think part of being women of color and being raised by immigrants is that we have to live like a double life. Do you relate to that?
Yeah. Less now. I was actually going to ask you guys how your relationship has changed with your parents over the years. Because
well,
mine has, but it's been...
It's
been
tumultuous
hard.
For sure. I think yeah. I think we went through... For me, we went through a really tumultuous phase, especially when I was a teenager, even going into college, post-college. But now they're very supportive of me, I think because they realized being unsupportive didn't work.
Yeah.
And they saw how supporting my younger sister like actually made her good at her job and thrive in every field that she can try. So now they're very supportive of me. My mom went to New York with me last year for the first time. I love New York, and it was her first time there. We like explored. She saw my film in a theater. It was amazing. So that was like, we're really supportive now, but there's still aspects that I feel like by default I need to hide, like whether it's about being queer or like I thought my mom could handle that part of my life and like me talking about her liking women or something. And I think she would rather never hear about it. I think she still loves me, and I think both my parents will always love me, but there's still a feeling of like, I can't be completely myself yet, or ever maybe.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like something I have to just like come to terms with, is that being completely open is this like very Western idea, and that's not something that is normal for our family. Like, some things are better left unsaid, whether it's that I don't believe in God or that I like women or like whatever. I think there are some things that ignorance is bliss.
It's the same with my parents.
Yeah.
Like, we've come a long way over the years just in terms of me choosing to be open about my life
mm-hmm.
and seeing like what they'll handle and what they won't handle.
Yeah.
It's obviously scary, and like vulnerability is really hard, especially with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is that you just realize that certain, like kind of what you're saying, like you just kind of realize that certain things are going to hurt them
yeah.
more than it's actually going to help the relationship.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we can't base our relationships and our dynamics just because we live in a society that the majority is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like my relationship with my parents is very business right now. I forgot to tell them I was coming to Chicago. Oops. And that I was doing a live show. But it's so like, it's, we're not very close, but they didn't raise us to be close. Like, we were never raised to like be friends. It's a weird, really weird thing. Like, it was all very like, you're competing against each other to be the best. it's like complicated. So it kind of created a lot of tension within us. Like I have a much, you know, I'm actually, yeah, it's such a long story, guys. But it's like, hey, you know, I'm doing good, you doing good, cool. We're both alive, wonderful. Like it's very like, it just, it works. It's very like, we make sure everyone's alive. Then we go about our business. Like, you just check in the group chat. You're like, hey,
yeah,
guys, I forgot to do this, but normally I would be like, I'm going to Chicago. Maybe I'll see someone. And they'd be like, cool. How's the dog? Great. All right. And that's, you know, I mean, like, when I go home, it's very like, you hungry? I'm hungry. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's no, they don't want to know, and I don't want to know.
Yeah.
And it's very like, you know.
My parents are the polar opposite of yours. My parents
are
very
involved.
My
parents are like, literally like, if you found a rock on the ground, it'd be like, that's my dad.
Yeah.
What? Because he could hurt you, but it's not going to give you much else. You know, like, it's very like.
The fuck?
That's what it's like. What am I supposed to say? That's just the facts. It's like, I was raised by a stone cold killer and a very devout Muslim woman. So it's like, you got one woman who's being like, God's watching, and you're like, cool. And then you have one guy being like, I swear to God, I will slap the shit out of you if you piss me off. And you're like, okay. And then, you know, it sounds dark, but, you know, it made the stone
I'm a killer. It made me a very strong, independent person. So I have it was a dark road to get here and a lot of therapy that they had to pay for. So it's not my problem. So like, it made me who I am, and I feel like I'm doing fine, and I have health insurance. So I won. And now I have a really cute dog and some cats. So like,
It is crazy to remember like how many screaming fights I had with my dad or my parents. Like, I feel like there are the darkest moments that I remember with my parents, whether it was like, and it was only me, like my other sisters were always trying like to be the mediators between me and my dad in particular. For example, like even though I was the first one to get a tattoo, and even though both of my sisters were adults when they got a tattoo, including my older sister, they still blame me for being the bad influence that like made it okay. So I feel like that was the relationship I had with my parents for a lot of my life, was like, you tainted this pool. Like, you know what I mean? Like you peed.
You peed in the pool.
You peed in the pool. And I think that like made me really resentful and like angry at them for a long time, especially because I didn't feel supported, and like my whole life it was like, we have to save money for your sister's medical school, and I'm just like, what about my dreams? They're bullshit, whatever. So now I think, even though sometimes their support feels like too little too late, I can't deny like they love me the best they could. And like, we're like, we have a group chat on our like, for me, my immediate family, me, my two sisters, my parents, and it's very loving. They're very loving, amazing people. And I think they've always tried their best, especially when it came to me, because I don't think they knew how to handle like someone that was like as emotional and like sad as I was. And I think I just, they like, and also mental illness isn't really discussed in the Middle East, or probably in India as well. Like in other cultures, mental illness is like very just like, get over it.
Yeah, you know? I still can't believe my dad's oldest sister killed herself, and he still to this day claims it's because, well, they just wanted her to marry a guy she didn't want to marry. I was like, that's why she killed herself? I don't know about you, but there's other ways to get out of that. That's clearly mental illness. And they're like, whatever, your grandma and grandpa were cousins. And you're like, what?
Yeah. Same here. I don't like that.
That's very real. My grandma and grandpa were second cousins. My mom to this day goes like, well, I mean, they were second cousins.
Well, honestly, I have the same, they were, okay, my dad's parents were first cousins, so it's kind of worse for
That's true. And my cousin tried to be like, have you met my son? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's a real thing that happened. And I had to explain to him I would not marry his son because we are all related. And he was like, oh, okay. And then when I was like, there was a conversation we got into where I was like, I would consider myself a feminist. And he was like, does that mean you're a lesbian? And I was like, yeah, sure. If that's what you need to get by. That's the level of like, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he was like, one time I snuck alcohol into Italy by pouring it into antifreeze bottles. And I was like, oh, I'm the problem? Like, listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my family.
I love my family, but I think I brought this up because when I was in West Virginia most recently, I have some cousins there that are like early 20s, late teen girls. Most of them cover their hair. And it's interesting in the Middle East, and especially, I mean, I've only ever really explored Syria for the most part. Like, I've been to Dubai and everything, but in Syria, like, same-sex friendships are very intimate. Like, even, like, boys will, like, hold hands or, like, arms.
They'll, like, hold hands totally and skip, platonic. And then they're, like, nothing weird here, and you're
and
like,
so
okay.
Girls do, and girls will link arms, and it's very platonic. So two of my girl cousins were linking arms, and then they were, like, laughing about being gay. And me, being someone who is, like, identifies as gay and queer, and, like, even though I've been with men, I feel like I wouldn't call myself anything but those things. Mm-hmm. I had to be, like, I can't say shit right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard because you want, being the Western cousin is hard. And even though they're here and they're trying to acclimate and everything, there are some things that make you feel very, very much alone in your own family. And I think I'm glad I have my sisters because they accept me and everything. And I think my mom and my dad love me. But that moment was like really hard for me to grapple with, because I was like, I think there's an element of having a double life that is forever for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also a responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, how do you opt out of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how, like, do you just tell your parents, like, sorry, I'm not interested. Like, yeah. I'm going to exit this. And that's, like, a reality for some people, but
yeah,
there's sacrifices all the time.
That's a good point. That's a good point that you let, like, they're your family, not, like, at the end of the day, like, that's the one parent that you're going to have for the most part, unless you are, there's obviously extenuating circumstances, but,
yeah. But I always, like, think of it, if they really wanted, like, to be involved in my other double life, like, it's a privilege. So, like, if you really wanted to know what I was up to, you would make the effort. And if you're not making the effort, then you just don't get to know who I am. It's like, that's just the way it is. It's like, you either be like, I will listen to your stories about being queer, because that's like how they are, that when they really try, they're like, you can tell they're like really computing, like, yes, this is correct. But if they, you know, if they don't, then they don't. That's their loss. It's like, what can you do? You just live your life to the fullest.
And we've talked about this on the show before.
Be a killer.
We've talked about this on the show before, but like, my dad's family is far more religious than my mom's family. I mean, my whole family is Muslim, but like, it's so bad to the point where if I'm posting anything on social media, it's in the back of my brain. Because my dad's side of the family, if they see a photo of me in a tank top or in shorts, they'll immediately report to my father being like, you're an awful parent. I can't believe you raised a slut like this.
Yeah.
And it's like just me wearing shorts happy. So it's like, everyone's a fucking double agent just waiting to fucking rat on you. And that's like the shade of being in a Middle Eastern family. Yeah. Just like gossip constantly.
When I was in high school, my first real boyfriend, like I mean, obviously, like, there was real feelings, but I liked him so much that I introduced him to my parents.
Wow. You're a brave woman.
I would not have done that.
And they knew about him, and because they knew that he existed, I posted a picture of us on Facebook.
Oh no.
I didn't know better. And all my cousins
were like, this is your husband.
And when is the wedding?
All my cousins live in India still. And so this was a few years ago. And literally, they got, like, my parents just got all these calls.
Wow.
And all of it, like, all of that, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, don't do that. Like, they were just like, don't. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that? And I didn't know, right? Like,
it's a very serious thing for them.
Then it's like, they have to bear that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, to this day, right, going back to double lives, I'm dating someone right now. I'm in an exclusive relationship. And he's met my parents and my younger sister, and
still brave. I still think it's very brave.
And it's like fine, right? Like it's all fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I would never ever tell my cousins, and even in the Indian community, like my parents' friends.
Yeah.
Like they had my parents hosted a dinner party recently, and I've been in situations, right, where my white boyfriend has invited me to any and all of his family. Like, that's...
Yeah.
They love that shit. And I love that shit, too. Bonding is great. Like,
yeah.
To get to know other people's families. But I can't do that because then my parents have this burden of having their friends, right, and acquaintances ask about, oh, how's Priyanka's boyfriend? Are they like...
How white is he?
Yeah, like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Like, what's his career? Are they getting engaged? And like, I don't want to answer those questions right now. And I don't want my parents to have to answer those questions right now. So I think that's also part of kind of leading this double life.
Yeah.
Is you also have to protect yourself and your family.
I feel like Western culture is very individualistic, and even if we're in the Western culture, we are so tied to being in the family. Like, everything we do reflects the family, even if we don't want it to.
Yeah.
And that's, like, something my parents always remind us of. Like, we are still a part of the family, even though we're raised here in America being like, I'm my own person, but really, in their eyes, we're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm lucky. I made it pretty clear early on that I was, like, not the one. So if you like I was just like, I remember I like posted something when I was in Iran and my cousin was like, hey, yeah, so there's a girl in that photo I'm not really supposed to be in a photo with. And I was like, and Like, that's not my problem. Why are you tripping over my Instagram? Like, I don't, like, I just wanted to make it very clear that, like, my life was my life and I lived it based on the, like, the culture I grew up in. Like, I wasn't gonna hold anything to any standard that I clearly couldn't meet. Like, I'm not, you know, I have, like, this white boyfriend who my parents have met, and my parents are, like, again, they're very kind of, like, checked out, you know? Like, my mom is probably praying right now, and my dad is drinking wine and watching Golden Girls. Like, they're very, like, in their own world. So it's like, yeah, they love Golden Girls. Yeah, so I just kind of made it, you know, I made it clear, like, well, yeah, I'm going to be dating this guy, and, you know, maybe I'll marry him, maybe not. Like, who knows? But, like, I cannot... I'm not going to hold it to any standard and be like, sorry, bro, like, you got to marry me. It's the reason, you know, like, it just, you know, I just wanted it to be so very clear that you raised me to be independent. So don't expect me to be anything less than that.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to snap back in the fucking comment section on my Instagram if my cousin posts something. And I'll be like, I'm sorry, can I help you? Because you don't need to be on my Instagram. Like, you are basically allowed 4 emojis, you know? 100, peace, fire, and, like, laugh. Like, the tears in the eyes, because you're like, ha, 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 that's so funny. But, like, that's it. Don't be up in, like, trying to question what I'm doing. I don't question your overly face-tuned, like, overly posed photos. Like, oh, how funny. I just happened to be standing in front of this beautiful cake. Like, it's like, I just, you know, mind your own.
Yeah.
I think we have to end the show.
Oh.
Sorry. Well. Sorry. We gotta go. I gotta check into my other flight.
Thanks again for coming out and listening to us ramble. I think having a podcast has given us like a privilege to be able to like reach a lot of people that we would never have been able to meet in person. So I think a live show provides us the opportunity to like actually be like, oh, we're people with human bodies, and like, so are you. And
yeah, you're not just
sentence
like
I just
handles
said.
And we're not like disembodied voices.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks again, and thanks for the Chicago Podcast Festival for having
us. Thank you so much for having us. Elizabeth, Aaron, Kelly, Gabriella, and, all of you.
Yeah. Should I plug our shit or not really?
Oh, I mean, sure, you can follow us.
Yeah. You can follow us in person out the door or on social media. Yeah, thanks again. Bye.
Thank you. And thank you to Priyanka.
Thanks, Priyanka. Thank you for.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.